Good morning, Church. On the first Sunday of 2021, we talk about the beginning. Right from Ezra 1:1, we are told all things begin with God. He is the originator. It is not that we are virtuous. God lays his eyes on us. It is not that we are It is not that I am diligent and I have completed all my assignment entrusted to me. God finds favor in me. It is not that I am born smart. Whatever I do it well and more. Do remember one thing. Without God, nothing is possible. 2 weeks ago, Pastor Avery pointed out to us the best idea we have, the most promising ability we have, cannot protect God's work and make it accomplished. What we should do is to hold fast to our faith. Otherwise, the result can only be disastrous. Last week, Dr. Stevens used Colossians to emphasize again and again the truth of Christ alone. We can give Christianity many add-ons. Some of those add-ons could even be good religious practices. But we are reminded of Christ alone. Through the last 4 weeks, we learn one thing. If we still believe more is needed in addition to God's grace, we are dead wrong. Add-ons of Christianity is dead wrong. These add-ons can actually lead us astray, really threaten our faith. Ezra and many other Old Testament prophets in their lives faced with the same crisis, syncretism. Syncretism is add-ons to our faith. Add-ons are something beyond God. And syncretism is exactly the crisis of the Colossians and Galatians. Anti-syncretism is the heart of these two books. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you because you bring us here. We open your Bible and try to listen to your word. Help us now, Lord. We are listening to your voice. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, I would like to share with you this strange passage of today. Ezra chapter 4, verses 6 to 23. It has no obvious teaching. It only contains two letters to the kings and one edict from a king. It does not contain God's work, but filled with human doings, especially what the Jews' enemies has done. This works as a detour from the main narrative. But where does this detour lead us to? Today's passage includes a letter from the Jews' enemies to Xerxes, the Persian king. It is very likely a transcript is transcribed from the original letter. Probably the letter was written not too far from the time Ezra was written. The editor of Ezra has a copy of it. If we look further, we found the larger context of chapters 4 mentions two edicts from two kings. Then chapter 4:24 mentioned another king who is King Darius. Darius is the king who has an edict to authorize a second time the rebuilding of the temple since the edict of Cyrus of chapter 1. And Darius' edict was recorded in chapter 6. Ezra 4:6 to 23 is actually out of sequence for the event we quoted happened in a much later date. Obviously, the editor of Ezra inserted these 6 to 23 verses here in chapter 4 has its own reason. This editor wants to highlight a point to explain the mistakes Jews has committed in the dealing with their enemies. I have just mentioned that chapter 4 talk about two edicts from two kings, Cyrus and Xerxes. It is also hinted another edict from a third king, Darius. As we put these three edicts not in chronological order, but in the biblical order, we begin to see a reason. The first edict is the edict of Cyrus. This is the edict that was mentioned in chapter 1, verse 1. The point of this edict is actually the very main point. In order to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah. This sentence happened in the very first verse of Ezra. As have mentioned before, the underlying reason the Jews can return from exile to Babylon is because of God's promise. God is fulfilling his promise through Jeremiah. Of course, historians and scholars can give many reasons for their return from the exile. We could say it is because of Cyrus' great political wisdom, his military might, his strategy to appeal to people's heart and not to people's fear. As a matter of fact, Cyrus was one of the longest-lasting king of Persia. And he was one of the most successful king of Persia. However, all these can be traced back to this sentence. In order to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah. Ezra has pointed out to us clearly the return from exile is not because of Cyrus. It's because of God. The second edict is the edict of Artaxerxes. This is an edict to order the building of the wall be stopped. This edict is placed right after verses 1 to 5 for a reason. It is to explain the grave error the Jews has committed in those 5 verses. For verses 1 to 5 is the history of the rebuilding of the temple. The second edict is the history about the rebuilding of the Jerusalem's city wall. They happen at two different times, but they were arranged to be one after the other. 2 weeks ago, the first 5 verses of chapter 4 told us the Jews' crisis. The enemies of verse 2 were people of worshipper of many gods. They worship God and they also worship many more idols. They worship God, Jehovah, but have other add-ons. They add on to God other elements of Canaanite idol worship. This is called syncretism. They want to bring in a foreign element into the worship of Jehovah. In ancient Near East, where it happened, people will worship God, yet they believe. They also have to worship other gods to make sure all are covered. They won't miss one. When they go up to the mountain, they worship the mountain god. When they went down to the valley, they worship the valley gods. And when they sail in the sea, they worship the sea gods. So they want to bring in all these elements to the worship of Yahweh, Jehovah. In their belief, they will add on to God other demands. The book of Ezra is supposed to continue from the Chronicles. Detest the golden calf worship in the city of Dan and Bethel. These are the two cities where Jeroboam made two golden calves. Who is Jeroboam? When the kingdom of Solomon ended, Israel was divided into two kingdoms. One is the northern kingdom and the other is the southern kingdom. Jeroboam is the new king of the northern kingdom. But Jerusalem, the center of all belief or the center of their faith, is in the southern kingdom. Now, for the Jews, they have to go to the temple to worship every year. To Jeroboam, it is a no-no. And you have a caravan of people going up to Jerusalem every year. It's a political no-no. So Jeroboam made two golden calves from the Canaanite religious elements for Israelites to worship. Golden calves were not to replace God. Golden calf is in addition to God. Their worship becomes impure. However, the Jews rejected these enemies not by pointing out their erroneous belief. They did not tell their enemies the one true faith is to worship God alone. The edict of Cyrus is actually, they did not tell their enemies the one true faith. As a matter of fact, the edict of Cyrus is actually in order to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah. But they upheld the edict itself, but not the true author of the edict, God, Jehovah. They rely on human political authority, but not God's power. This is not the real reason, but they held up high the authority of Cyrus nevertheless. God do not approve this kind of tactic. Or perhaps, in the heart of the Jews, God's promise is not enough. They have to rely on political muscle. The edict of Cyrus is political muscle. It's more powerful than God's promise. Then the second edict told the Jews otherwise. Actually, no edict is greater than God, and no edict is not from God. Proverbs says, "The king's heart is like channels of water in the hand of the Lord. He turns it wherever he pleases." As a matter of fact, every person's way is right in his own eyes, but the Lord examines the heart. It is obvious that the Jews have their own calculation. They would think to themselves, "Now, they would never stop us, for we have the edict of the king to support us. Our enemies will not prevail against us because we have the king in our back." But the editor of Ezra has pointed out, humans can calculate according to their own cleverness, but the psalmist indicated, "The Lord nullifies the plan of nations. He frustrates the plans of people." The king, the nations, can be nullified. It's all in the hand of God. The writer of Prophet also says, many plans are in a person's heart, but the advice of the Lord will stand. Without God's permission, King Artaxerxes would not have issued an edict to contradict his grandfather Cyrus, or the so-called grandfather of Cyrus. The third edict did not appear until chapter 6. But the 24th verse gave us the clue. King Darius is first mentioned in verse 24. He is the king who issued the third edict we mentioned here. This edict would reauthorize the rebuilding of the temple. I would not read the whole passage, but I would highlight a few verses. Furthermore, I issue a decree concerning what you are to do for these elders of Judah in the rebuilding of that house of God. The full cost is to pay to those people from the royal treasury out of the taxes of the provinces beyond the Euphrates River, and that without interruption. And also, may the God who has caused his name to dwell there overthrow any king or people who attempts to change it, so as to destroy that house of God in Jerusalem. I, Darius, have issued this decree. It is to be carried out with all diligence. I have to point out one important fact. This edict did not originate from King Darius himself. It was based on the original edict of King Cyrus. When we compare the two edicts, the edict of Cyrus and the edict of Darius, the edict of Darius is much longer, but the content is actually an expansion of Cyrus' edict. It is actually a reiteration of Cyrus' edicts. Darius dug out from his archive. At the end of chapter 6, the dedication of the temple occurred. Ezra's chapter may not be in chronological order, but the biblical order is unmistaken. Building of temple halted, and the rebuilding of the temple. Throughout the rebuilding of the temple, the Jews made a grave mistake. But God's work still continues, despite of the Jews' grave error. The first edict are actually one edict. The true author is God. Again, Ezra 1:1 is not only the beginning of the book. It is the main idea of Ezra chapter 1 to chapter 6. All are in God's hands. When we first Ezra 4, we may find it perplexing because this chapter is out of sequence and seemingly isolated with other success story. But if we look further through chapter 6, Ezra tells us that what it means by in order to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, and in all these six chapters, Ezra also warns us syncretism. Certainly, we will not craft a golden calf to worship, and we will not build an altar and not attending Sunday worship. But in our own generation, we have our own temptation, just like the temptation of the Jews in Ezra's time. The very essence of temptation has never changed temptation is true to new believers as well as to a mature Christian. The format may have changed, but the threat is equally real. Don't we talk about syncretism? One manifestation of syncretism is what I called salvation DIY. What is salvation DIY? We all understand that DIY, what DIY is, it means a kind of self-help. Salvation DIY is self-help salvation. Now, we all understand. It is by grace we are saved. Without God's grace, we will never find the true faith. So, our church is called the Lord's Grace Church, right? It means we are living and growing our Christian lives under God's grace. But we know LGC's brothers and sisters are overachievers. We are also very diligent people. We all serve without ceasing. We all want to serve God. At the same time, it is far easier for us to fall into the trap. As we serve God more fervently, we want to achieve more in our ministries. We invest a lot of ourselves into the ministries. More and more we serve, we feel like we have to top ourselves. Okay, last time we have been very successful, and next time we may need to be more successful. We feel like without doing it well, we are not a good Christian. Without doing more, we are not a good Christian. We want to serve God, but without knowing it, maybe at some point, we are only serving the ministries, not God. We offer our service to ministry, but not God. We humans are all emotional beings. As we serve, we invest ourselves as well as our passion. Without passion, we will not put our hearts into ministries. But be sure, let our passion is to God and not to ministry. Ministry is a means and not an end. Ministry would fail. I can assure you, ministry can fail. Even a church would fail. Has LGC ever failed? Yes, she did. If I ask you whether LGC has disappointed you, if not, and I can also assure you at some point, she will. But let's make it clear. When we put our passion in God and not the ministries, then we will not be so disappointed. Even if LGC fail, the sky is not going to fall. God can make her rise from the ashes again, as long as we put our hearts in God, but not just the ministry. We can consider that we are put in LGC to experience failure together if it fails, if she fails. We can learn to rise up from ashes in God's way. Let's get back to the topic of DIY. A lot of times, we humans are just too clever. We know so much that we believe we have a way to deal with everything. Especially for us older Christians, we have experienced so much in church and in this world, especially in this secular world, that we can tell what works and what doesn't. When the Jews faced their enemies, they used a secular way and not God's way to deal with their enemies. Maybe they have stayed in Babylon for too long. They learned the political maneuver of the Babylonians as they dealt with their enemies. They flashed their trump card, the Edict of Cyrus. For the edict of the king is power. Cyrus's edict is the political trump card. They were helping themselves by manipulating their power with political power, for this is their experience in Babylon. Do remember, the Jews were trying to defend their very act of rebuilding the temple. It is a good cause, but this is a cause of syncretism. But the way to do it is syncretism. The temple is God's temple. Rebuilding it is a sacred mission. God's ministry ought to be done in God's way. But the Jews was either scared or arrogant. They flashed the edict of Cyrus in front of their enemies. They believe the edict of Cyrus can add on to God. Little did they know, the edict is just a tool in the hands of God. They did not rely on God. They did not embrace God when they are in crisis. Instead, they wanted to protect God's work by their own little DIY. They did not stop their work and pray to God. They did not seek God's direction. They worked very hard, but they did not succeed. What if somebody tells you, in order for you to find God's favor, you have to devote to do certain spiritual exercises, serve in the church fervently, read a certain portion of the Bible every year? What would you think? If we think we can find favor in God's eyes, we are totally mistaken. The Jews believe the only thing is to rebuild the temple. Building temple itself is the only goal. They have forgotten the purpose of building the temple. The temple is the means to worship God. As long as we set our sight to God or in God, all those we have mentioned will happen naturally. It's not by doing certain things first to add on to our faith, but rather we worship God first and we come to God first, and then all these spiritual exercises, all this reading of Bible, service will come along naturally as a way we express our gratitude to God. In order to get out of the wilderness, let us learn from Ezra. So we listen to these songs to encourage each other. Once it was the blessing.
Jesus said, once was God.
Lord, we thank you. We thank you for you because we don't need anything but you. And you are here for us. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.